This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 40 of the Polykill Podcast. Thanks for joining us. As always, we are your hosts. I am Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. Between Jake and I err more toward the classic games, and I just watched Get Out and Logan last week, and I recommend both. Great films.
They are indeed. This is Jake. I'm the co-host of Polykill. I tend to play a little bit of everything, mostly Overwatch, to be honest, and I'm trying to diversify my portfolio. So far, no go. You can find me on the Instagram and the Twitter at the McAxel.
And together, you can find us at Polykill. And today's a special day. We have a guest among us, P1, also known as, well, I guess Sean, also known as P1 or Player One from the Cartridge Club. The Cartridge Club Mac Daddy. Player One, why don't you tell us all about yourself?
Well, I like long walks on the beach, running water. You can sometimes find me wearing the color red. And I'm an avid gamer of both retro and current gen systems.
Nice. And on the social medias?
You can find me at Cartridge Bros, B-R-O-S.
Nice.
Because it's always bros before pros, right?
That's so smart.
Yeah. I was just thinking you should have an alternate Twitter handle where you write poetry about video games and call it Cartridge Pros, P-R-O-S-E.
I might do that.
You should do that.
Smart. Well, you can find P1 and the rest of us over at thecartridgeclub.org. That is short for organism.
Orgasm.
P1 has nothing to add to our ORG puns.
Why would he?
I'm pretty sure that's what it stands for. It's both of them.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be.
Yep. A little bit of housekeeping. I wrote a blog last week. Jake, did you read that?
No.
I didn't share it with you. I was ashamed. I was hyped up on the coffee. I had the coffee beans piping through me. I just started typing something. I had way more important things to do. I had a big meeting that night. I was giving a presentation to a bunch of important people, and I felt like I was caught up to that, and I'd coffeed myself so much. I had all this energy, and I just grabbed the keyboard and just started rat-a-tat-tapping. And I don't even know what I was typing about. It wasn't until like 30 minutes in, I was like, we'll see if I can make this about video games at some point. And so I reworked it. And I didn't share it with many people. I tweeted it out, but it's now on the website if anybody is interested in
it. What's it called? What's it about?
Oh, it's called Bucket List and Backlogs. Okay. Take time and dabble in the greatness. See, I was so amped up on coffee. I had like a 10-word title. I didn't even know what to call the thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's hard to come up with titles, though. I'm really bad at it. That's why I'm bad at Reddit. I'll just put like image post as my title. Like, that'll literally be my title. No one clicks on my shit.
Yeah, your shit at Reddit. But yep. No, the article is out. I don't know that I don't know who read it or if anybody read it, but it's there. It's there. It's a thing.
All right. Cool beans.
I also made a video highlighting the five more valuable games in my collection. Did you watch that?
I did. I skipped through it.
Good. I would too. It's 17 minutes. it's not that exciting, but you know, we talked about let's try to do some more stuff with the videos.
Yeah, and to YouTube. Be fair, honestly, I had actually heard most of the stories behind some of these games anyway.
Sure.
Just, you know, over the past, you know, 2 weeks of friendship.
I'm a chatty Cathy. You know, what are you going to do? But here, you know, the funny thing, I put that video up there and so it has like 30% thumbs downs, and I think we lost 2 subs after I put it up there. So I don't know if I like slipped something weird in, like maybe my wiener was out and I didn't even know.
that's odd, dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
Chances are it's just people were offended that you didn't have better games in your top 5 more valuable games. It's a well-known fact that to be popular on YouTube, the two main keys are be in front of a lot of games all the time when you're filming and also own all of the expensive games.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to remember that. All I was in front of was the shitty posters I found at yard sales and duct taped to the wall, so I'll work on that. But we also released one more thing.
Yeah, you did.
A rap video circa 2014.
And this has nothing to do with me. This was pre-Polykill. This was pre-McAxel.
Yeah.
This is straight up Briz and Diddles.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give a little backstory here. Shall I? You wish me to do this?
I'll do it.
Okay, yeah. What? Circa 2014, me and Hokey Briz, you know, our friend Brian.
Brian, yeah.
I think he's played Overwatch with some members of the club. And, you know, we started this fictitious rap duo that performs at our friends' parties, and we write raps about games. And the only one we were proud of is the one I put on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's the only one that doesn't paint us in a negative light. It actually looks decent. So that's what I put up there. So if you're interested in watching silly rap videos, also my rap name is Diddles, and no, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It just rolled off the tongue, I guess. I'll leave it at that.
Sure you will.
All right, moving into the meat of the business.
Business meat.
Recent pickups and on the radar. P1, have you picked up anything? You got any games coming out in the next couple weeks you're excited about? What's going on?
No, I don't own a Switch. The Wii U is dead, so there's nothing coming out on that.
Fair enough.
Xbox is literally just an Overwatch system for me. To the point that I'm going to just put a Blizzard skin over the white casing. I guess I'm excited about Horizon Zero Dawn Payment, but that's that's not new or coming, and I didn't buy it.
So basically, you shouldn't have spoken in the segment, is what we're saying, right?
No, yeah, I probably could have just made a note there in the show notes. Skip me.
But you're right. I mean, you should pick up Horizon Zero Down Payment, 12 months APR, 12%, or whatever we called
credit.
It. Yeah, yeah, unapproved credit for qualified buyers. It's a great game, and you should play it. So yeah. But I remember we had this conversation, I think, mid Uprising event one time, and you said you just didn't want to play it too close to Breath of the Wild, and that made a lot of sense to me. So,
yeah,
because you don't want to, because those came out at the same time, and they're a bit similar in terms of construction. Obviously, they're vastly different in terms of lore and whatnot, but yeah, you should play it. I'm excited to hear what you think about it.
Cool. Yeah. I have to get my wife off of Breath of the Wild. She has decided that for the last week and a half that she's going to get all the Korok seeds in that game. So now I'm only permitted to use the main television if I have other people online to play Overwatch with. Otherwise, gotcha. I'm to watch quietly.
Very nice.
Good man.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I picked up a game. I guess I was the only one to pick up a game.
Yeah.
And it was a necessary piece to my collection, but I might have went a little overboard. I
remember this.
I collect loose NES titles, but something got into me. I guess I had a little money in the pocket, burning a hole. I hadn't gone collecting in a while. Been a little pin up, and I saw some guy selling Dragon Warrior 3 Complete in Box, and he was selling it for like 30 or 40% cheaper than I've ever seen it on eBay. And the pics look good, and he had, you know, actually this wasn't on eBay, I'm sorry, this was on Nintendo Age. And he had really good, you know, feedback there, and I was like, you know, I kind of want to make a dumb decision. I'll just buy this. And so I did.
That's a safe dumb decision.
Yeah, but it has all the inserts, the maps, all the stuff. It's in really good condition.
Very nice.
And I only need now, I just need Dragon Warrior 4 to get that 4-piece set to the old NES collection, and I don't know, I was just happy to pick it up. It was cool. Cool piece.
Baller. Yeah, nice.
Yep. And I don't have anything on my radar. May 8th to May 22nd is
dead to you.
Oh, gosh. It's dry.
Gotcha. Well, I've got one. I didn't pick up anything. Also, while we're here, since we don't really dive too deeply into our New Year's resolutions as much as years progress, and we tend to forget about them and wish we never made them, I will bring up that today, May 4th, May the 4th be with you and all that stuff, is the 6-month anniversary of me purchasing a game. I haven't bought a game in 6 months,
yeah,
as of today.
Yeah, and people will be listening to this a few days from now, yeah, but just know in retrospect that Jake's got a boner for this day.
I made it.
Yeah.
I made
you
it.
You did it. Congrats, Jake. So, that's great.
Yeah, thanks.
That's good, man. You should treat yourself.
I am.
Treat yourself.
I am.
Have you gone to look for any games?
No. Yes, a little bit. So after the exam I just took today, officially ending the semester, also a woot woot from all my people, I wandered into a GameStop just for a minute, just to
just
take a little
tip?
Break.
Just see how it feels?
I was like, I haven't been in one of these. And like, seriously, I haven't been in a GameStop maybe once since last year. And that's rare for me. Not that I love GameStop, but, you know, it's a store with video games in it. So I like to go in there and walked around. I was like, anything in here I can just bust this wide open with, you know, since it's been 6 months. Walked around. I was like, no. So I left.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. Maybe it's been a lifestyle change. Maybe you've gone so long, you're just okay with walking out of there.
Yeah, I think I teased myself out of a habit, which I'm kind of okay with, considering I only play Overwatch now and resign myself to playing that for the rest of my life. I don't really need to buy any other games, so it's cool.
Congrats, dude.
But I do have one on my radar, and it's because it's a Fire Emblem game, and every time there's a Fire Emblem game getting released, I pay attention. And this is Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia, and this is a remake or remaster of a very early Fire Emblem game. It'll be out May 19th, so it's on my radar. Don't know that I'll get it, but there it is.
I might have lied. Yeah, that's on my radar, too. I didn't realize it was coming out so soon. That and the two amiibo that come with it. I got the special edition of that and the two amiibo pre-ordered already.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Have you also succumbed to the clutches of the amiibo? Were you like me? And initially you were like, huh, good try, Nintendo. I don't want any of those. Until you got like three or four, and then you were like, I have 27 now.
No, I on day one said, I will have every one of you. And...
I thought you were going to make fun of me, but I see how this turned out. That's good.
No. I have all of them. I have a custom-built amiibo showcase that used to be a Ray-Ban sunglasses case that I had specially designed by a local guy around here who actually, like, he paints cars and motorcycles and puts the signage on FedEx trucks for a living. I am the only ones I don't have are the Animal Crossing ones because you shouldn't keep small animals contained in cages like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I have them all. Yeah, I have
Pix or GTFO, because that sounds awesome. I'd like to see that.
I just put some on Facebook. I realized we're not friends on Facebook because I like to keep that with people that I actually like as opposed to people that I pretend to like online for the benefit of the club. So sure. I will send you some pictures via Twitter.
Cool. I don't have Facebook, so you can't even offend me.
What?
Yeah. Yep. I'm one of those. Moving into the Hot Jakes. You ready for Hot Jakes, Jake?
I'm ready for Hot Jakes.
Cue that Hot Jake music. All right, news topics on this section. Darksiders 3.
Fury is finally here.
Call of Duty World War II announcement.
Boots on the ground.
New Nintendo 2DS XL.
No need for this. No need for this.
PS5 rumors.
It's too soon.
So what do you think about that Darksiders 3? You like that?
I'm excited. I didn't think the series would move on. You know, I thought, you know, Joe Madd, who did all the art and design work for those, has gone on to form his own studio called Airship Syndicate. They're getting ready to release Battle Chasers Night War, which is a turn-based RPG. It's independently funded. He's busy doing that. I thought the franchise would die when he left.
But there's four horsemen. There's got to be.
There's four horsemen. Exactly. And, you know, we had gotten to sort of be with a couple of them and then heard the rest discussed. But finally, Fury's here, and she looks like she is mad, you know, because she's Fury. So I'm excited about it.
Have you played any of the Darksiders P1?
No, we actually just talked about this an hour ago with Mark, and it's a series that we want to try to get into because we've heard such good things. And this trailer, I mean, it's just cinematic, but it looked decent. I'm a fan of strong female protagonists, so here's hoping it's good. We're actually looking at making Darksiders 1 a club game.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you should.
I think that was just released for, not released, but I think part of the Games with Gold, like last month. So a lot of people should have it on Xbox. So
yeah. Yeah, it's available on a lot of stuff, and it's going to be one of the last two Wii U games.
Yeah, the War Master re-edition. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard the comparison, but they literally are like Legend of Zelda meets God of War.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun.
So that Call of Duty, what do you think about that? Jake?
Mixed feelings, as usual, with every Call of Duty that comes out, because you can't deny the studios behind these games make a polished blockbuster. Like, it's an event every time one of these is released.
And they drop ready to go, too. I feel like they always hit the ground running.
They hit the ground running. There's usually not a lot of issues. And, I mean, considering they're a multiplayer-centric, especially online multiplayer-centric game, they always do well with the launches. So that's always impressive. This looks really good for me. I mean, they're taking it back to World War II. They're doing the Normandy Beach. They're doing Bastogne. It looks like an authentic war experience rather than, you know, fighting Jon Snow in space, which some people said that was a good game. But, you know, I didn't play it because it was fighting Jon Snow in space. But I'm excited. I'll probably get it. I'll probably play it. You know, there'll probably be a zombie mode in it. And there's nothing like shooting a zombie in the face with an M1 Garand.
Hear that. P1, you play much Call of Duty?
No, I don't play first-person shooters, specifically ones that are online multiplayer only.
Fair enough.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't. I've never been a fan of Call of Duty. I don't hate them. I'm not like, oh, they shouldn't exist, because I know there are a lot of people who enjoy them. It's just, it's not my cup of tea, so I drink coffee.
I like that it's going back to World War II, though. I feel like again, I'm probably not going to get the game, but from an outsider looking in, that's when the games are most interesting to me, is when they replicated some real war, some real life thing. The going into space and wall running and all that stuff was cool.
It's cool for Titanfall, but I got Titanfall.
It could have been, more in line with Titanfall or that style of game, but, Call of Duty, I think of some conflict that has taken place in the past and I don't know. I feel like that's where their strong point is. So I'm glad to see them go back.
Yeah. I'm down with it because, you actually have source material to pull from and you can tell some really good stories that probably wouldn't get told to this generation and young people without games like this. So I think it's, not that every game has to be a statement or a story or a history lesson, but if you can do that, more power to you.
There you go. New Nintendo 2DS XL. It's a lot of qualifiers.
Like,
for
I don't under fucking stand this. I really don't. I just, come on, man. Really?
Why? What's your problem? What's your problem with it?
Really? You don't know my problem? I mean,
it's a cheaper alternative. It doesn't have the 3D.
You're right. You're right about all this. And they have one of those, and it's called the 2DS.
So it's just a bigger screen, though, right?
Yeah, bigger screen, and it folds. It's clamshell.
That's cool. Right?
It's fine. There's nothing wrong with this device on its own merit. And I think if you look at it like that, it's cool. But seriously, I just don't understand their decision-making here. There's multiple iterations of DS, DSi, DS XL, 3DS, 3DS XL, new 3DS, new 3DS XL, 2DS, and now a new 2DS XL.
It is a lot.
You're confused. And all these are out. People are playing all these still. Then they release a Switch and a NES Mini that they just canceled. Now they're going to release a SNES Mini, maybe.
You're just baffled.
I just don't know what they're doing.
Okay, I see. What about Pete? What do you think?
It's not a 2DS XL. It's a new 2DS XL.
Yeah, so. I keep forgetting. It is the new.
That's important because
Nintendo.
That means
no. You're right.
2DS doesn't play the games that are only available to be played on the new 3DS XL and the new 3DS. This will be able to play them. So Xenoblade Chronicles, as well. There are other games that they're not necessarily, you don't require the new hardware, but, Hyrule Warriors, Yoshi's Woolly World, I suspect Ever Oasis. These are games that run much better on the new system as opposed to the original 3DS or 2DS where they run almost to the point that they're unplayable. I'm excited for it because I love Nintendo hardware. I currently have,
probably
seven.
All the ones I just mentioned. Yeah.
I have a 2DS, the Zelda Collector's Edition 3DS, the Zelda Link Between Worlds 3DS XL, the Majora's Mask new 3DS XL, a black new 3DS XL, and I'm fighting the purchase of a new 2DS. Oh, and I have a 2DS. I love Nintendo hardware. It's just you can't beat it for quality. And even this one has minor adaptations to it that are better. There's a little ejection port cover for where you put in your cartridge and your SD card, which seems like nothing. But I have actually, because right now on the 3DS XLs and the new 3DS XLs, you put your cards in at the bottom. And I have ejected my card mid-game before.
Oh.
And that's, it's infuriating. Hopefully they moved the power button as well, because the power button is also on the bottom, and I have turned the console off. I think this is a good way to wrap up the DS. Granted, it could have been just called the DS, because that's what it is, I guess. I mean, it's not too... Anyway, maybe a new DS, but I think it's a good way to wrap that up, because that system is still very strong, like 50 million sold for the family. Games still coming out into 2018. And so there are people who have not purchased a new 3DS or a new 3DS XL. This is for them. So, like, my brother specifically is one. He's not going to buy this because he doesn't have any money. But people like him who are also gainfully employed with children, this is who this is for.
I think it's a good statement about Nintendo because, they're still going to continue, despite the Switch and everyone thinking that will replace the handheld medium, they're still saying, we're going to support you a little bit longer and here's something new to carry out some of those games that have been released pretty recently and are still to come. We still care. I think that was what I took away from the new hardware.
And to be fair,
I
get the point of this, and I am, on board with having this option, because you're right, it does differentiate itself, and it does get access to some of the exclusive eShop titles, right, like the F-Zero and all that stuff. So that is cool. I just feel for, you know, parents, grandparents, and even people who want to move forward with Nintendo hardware on this handheld platform, they're going to get confused sometimes. And I don't understand their strategies. That's
fair enough.
All.
Fair enough. The naming conventions for everything that they've released has been
always
weird. Speaking of naming conventions, always one
weird.
That's always awesome, PS5, you know, in order of numbers, rumors. What do you think?
This is something that's like way, probably at least a year. I don't know. Like, I read a couple of articles, like this, the guy who predicted the PS4, the PS4 Pro, and the PS4 Slim. Predicted or got some information, was like, hey, check this out. PlayStation is working on something to combat Scorpio now, which, because if you look at the specs, the PS4 Pro doesn't really measure up to what Scorpio can do now that the official specs are out there. So I don't know if this is always their plan to reiterate 5 years after release of the PS4. You know, that's kind of in line with the normal hardware generation. But who knows? I mean, is it too soon? I mean, if you go by previous generation standards, yes, because we got a good 8 or 9 years out of them. Some of them still going strong. But, you know, if you look at previous gaming generations, like between Xbox 360, NES to SNES, you know, the cycles were a little shorter. So I don't know if they're going to go back to that and just be iterative now, or, you know, if this is just all conjecture and there's nothing like a PS5 in the works. But it's interesting.
P1, you have... You play some Sony hardware. You got a PS4, right?
I got the PS4 Pro.
You ready to move on so soon? If they drop a 5?
No, I'm not even sure I need this one yet. Yeah, it's way too soon for me. I waited for a long time on the PS4 and the Xbox One. I just got both of them this Christmas, or Xbox slightly before Christmas. This one for Christmas. And I mean, even today, I've got a handful of exclusives on there, but I'm not convinced that I have a massive backlog like you guys do, PS3 titles, retro titles, everything. And I remember when hardware used to last, I mean, to the point 6 years when they were at the end of the life cycle, pushing this hardware to the max. If you look at The Last of Us, that game is a beautiful, amazing game that was only able to get to that point because the developers had 6 years, 7 years with the PS3 working on just games for that. You're giving me PS4, PS4 Slim, PS4 Pro, PS5, year after year. The developers aren't having the time to master those systems, to master what those systems can do. If you're at the point now when you're just trying to compete with specs, why don't I just go buy a gaming PC? Which I'm never going to do. I will, when it gets to that point, I'll be out. I'll be done. I'll buy my Nintendo consoles, and that'll be it for me, because I can't keep up with this every year. You know what I mean? I don't buy a new cell phone every year.
I think you're like my spirit console buyer, man. I had the exact same thing. I was sitting at lunch with Jake, and I had not heard the rumors.
Now, all I did was comment that there was a rumor.
Yeah.
I didn't advocate for this.
I almost came across the table. I was so infuriated.
I just said, hey, there's a rumor. And you just like, I'm out.
I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with video games. It's too fast. It's too much too fast. We don't need this hardware pissing contest. I just want games. There's only been like, you know, a handful of games that I would consider great releases in the last year even. And we're already, I mean, that's going to differ person to person. But, you know, for me personally, I felt like, you know, in the 360 days, I was getting, you know, a lot of good, decent games that were on par with each other. But now, like, I don't know, the divide's so great. You're either an indie developer or you're AAA, and everything in the middle is just kind of forgotten about it if it's not beautiful and shiny and yada, yada, yada. And that's my blind rage. I haven't really given much thought into what I just said. But but at the same time, you know, it's like, I know that these console iterations have been 4 and 5 years in the past. I know what we went through in the 90s and early 2000s, every 4 or 5 years you re-up, and it's been about that long since the last one. But I thought we were at the point now, like the whole promise of this generation was this was going to be a 10-year system. It's the box for your house, and it's going to do your football, TV, and it's all you'll need for 10 years for games. And then, you know, they're already getting iterative, and I feel like I'm going to, you know, no matter how much money I spend, I'm always going to be a step behind somebody. So I don't know. That's where my frustration comes from. I don't think it's bad that people are making great things for us to play games on. I think that's great. I love that aspect of it. But as a consumer, I'm like, I'm just going to chill with this for a while, if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah? Sorry, I got did they get loud?
You got animated.
No.
Here's my take on it, and I get the Sean, you mentioned it. Trav, you've mentioned it in the past too. When you talk about development cycle for a game and how long it takes to make a game and how long it takes to maximize the capabilities of hardware of a console, because you know the beauty of a console is that the hardware is static; it's not moving. You can figure out ways to tweak it, etc. But there are, you know, when I think about third-party games, when I think about The Witcher or Dragon Age or, you know, even a Call of Duty from time to time, when they're being developed for PC, they do have to scale that, right? They have to say, you can turn these features on or off. So a lot of that stuff is there in the background. They just turn it off for consoles, right? You turn off the 4K, you turn off the anti-aliasing or turn it down, etc. So those things are still within the game. So a lot of developers, I would say first party, probably don't know how to do that as well. If you're just developing just for a console, you can probably specialize really well and do that. But the third party developers who are making these games on PC as well as console, I don't really think it's going to be a big shift for them at all. I think it's just going to be, oh, we can just turn that feature on now because we can already do it on PC. Now we can do it on this box.
Maybe. It's a fair point.
It is. I find the majority of my favorite games are exclusives. I think it's because they're designed specifically for the hardware that it's on, and I find that enhances the experience. Now, that might come from being a primarily Nintendo gamer, and Nintendo games.
I was about ready to bring that up. Yeah, I was like, that sounds like a Nintendo fan talk.
It does, but Sony
as well.
You're
not wrong, though. You're not wrong.
Most of my Sony favorites are exclusive to Sony. Demon's Souls is a great example. That's a third-party game, but it's exclusive to Sony.
Your Uncharted, Even Your Last with, of Us, et cetera.
Exactly. Yeah. ReCore, which I know a lot of people didn't like, but I really enjoyed it. I'd rather have a tool designed for one thing than a tool designed for everything. And I don't know. I just feel like a lot of multi-platform titles, you have to code for the lowest common denominator, which means, I don't know, I find you lose out.
Yeah, you can. I mean, some people can do it with panache, like you know, CD Projekt Red. Somehow they pulled it off, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are the exception to my statement, because, yeah.
Then I said panache on a podcast about video games. You're welcome.
That sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like...
Like a dip.
Yeah,
panache. Want some of this panache on your taquito?
Yeah,
is this like a French word for ladies' privates? Should I have pants on?
You should have pants on, yeah, but for different reasons.
Yeah, you heard the lady. Take off your pants and prepare your rears.
Yeah, we're classy.
Previously on Polykill, what happened?
Let's listen.
Previously on Polykill, we get some hot jinks on the NES and SNES classics, as well as the announcement of Battlefront 2. Neither Killer added a game to their backlog, but Trav was able to beat a handful of classic titles like Wampum, Captain Skyhawk, and Turtles in Time. Jake spends most of his time playing Overwatch, and Trav finally breaks through with The Witcher. Backstage passes are handed out as the hosts discuss potential avenues for the show and Polykill brand, and solicit your feedback for the topic of discussion.
All right, so games added to the backlog. Jake, I see here I got a blank slate here for you. You going to ghost drop one on us, or are you still a piece of shit?
I'm going to ghost drop one on you.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming.
Surprise, motherfucker. All right. So now I'm not very far into it, but I did add it to the backlog. It's a game I bought at least a year ago. I never got around to playing it. I went to bed early one night, which is rare for me. Usually I'm a 2:30, 3 a.m. kind of guy. And I was like, you know what? I just want to play something on my 3DS. Turned it on. I was like, what do I have on here? I got my Pokemon, but I wasn't really feeling that. I was like, ah, here we go. Earthbound. I can play that.
Really?
So I'm going to start that.
On the Pi? Huh? On the Pi?
No.
On
the 3DS. 3DS. Yeah.
Oh, because it's on your Pi too.
I did know that.
Yeah. So you've had it for free for a long time.
It's true.
Yeah. Anyway. True. All right. Fine. Cool.
There you go.
Look at you.
Ghost dropped one on you. You're welcome.
Well, that'll satisfy resolution to beating a retro game.
If I beat it.
Yeah.
I had to go through and name like all my favorite things, and my cat and my dog and my best friend and my mom and the street I live on and my favorite make and model of my car and my favorite dessert and my least favorite ice cream. God, it took forever to get started in that game.
Yeah. What is your least favorite ice cream?
Let me think about that. Superman ice cream's gross.
Okay. P1, did you add anything to your backlog?
Yeah, I just realized, so can it be added to my backlog and then become my long play? Because I've changed my long play for later when we get there.
We only pretend to have rules. You can do whatever you want.
These are added, just added to my backlog. It was added to my backlog until today, and today it was like, I'm taking it off the backlog. We're playing it. So I added Phantasy Star 2 and Pirates of Darkwater for the Super Nintendo.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Don't lie to our listeners.
Is that what I wrote?
No, that's not what you wrote. This is a shared document.
So I'm reading here. I added Phantasy Star 2 for the Sega Genesis and Pirates of Dickwater for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And
God, that made me happy.
You're welcome. it's I loved that cartoon growing up, and this is a beat 'em up.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you.
Yeah. I had a ton of the toys too. I still have a lot of them. Because our mother spoiled us, and that's probably why we're terrible people now. But, I actually played through 7 of the 9 stages of that a couple of weeks ago, and got to the end and ran out of continues and said, this game needs a better challenge with 2 people instead of just me. So I'm going to play through it. It's on my backlog, but I'm going to play through with a friend. A buddy that I work with, and we're gonna go through that.
I think it only takes a couple hours to beat, too, right? Is that right? It's like a beat-em-up, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a beat 'em up, and the better at them you are, the faster they go. It would. I could probably get through it in 1 or 2 days at work. We play pretty much from the time that we start around 7 in the morning till the time that we leave around noon.
I'm sorry. Did you say you go to work and play games?
Mm-hmm, yep. We actually my RetroPie is currently hooked up at work. We show up, we play games, we shoot the shit, we listen to podcasts, and then we go home and I play with the dogs.
That explains so much.
I'm going to go ahead and send you my resume right now. Anyway, so games I added to my backlog. I'm going to talk about them in the side quests because that's the only thing I have in the side quest. I dabbled hard in some NES classics.
Some hard dabbling.
Hard dabbling. I mean, we're talking like there was swelling. I dabbled real hard. So
careful now.
Yep. Games completed, knocked off the backlog, and I'm just going to steamroll right in here myself.
Go for it.
So I had to retire Shadow of the Colossus really before I got started with it.
It's a shame.
Yeah, and let me tell you all about it. So I'd added it. It's been on the backlog. I brought it up on the show a year ago. Remember after I beat Eco, I said I'm going to go ahead and So it had been this long before I finally got to it.
Yeah.
And I was excited to put it in. I've been playing a lot of intense games. I've been playing like The Witcher and the Final Fantasy on the Super Nintendo and Dragon Quest. Just some long games. And I was like, this is a nice little 9 to 10 hour game. Let's get one under the belt.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to beat some games to show P1 I meant business when he was on the show.
Yeah.
I didn't want to fucking not beat, because I knew you wouldn't. So I was like, one of us has to do this.
Sure.
So I tried my best. I really did. And I fought 2 Colossi. Great experience. Loads of fun. Climbing up on them, doing the thing, doing the stabbing and the getting and the stabbing. And I was like, this is so much fun. This game's awesome. It looks so good. PS2 era, but the scale of everything was still crazy awesome. And then, like an hour and a half in, maybe, I get to the 3rd or 4th Colossi, I don't remember. But I get there, and he goes to attack me, and he sinks through the ground and out of the screen. And that's not evidently a thing that he does. Like, I looked it up. I was like, what the fuck? Like, how do I get him to come back? And, it's not even, I Googled it, and it's not even, a glitch that's common. But it happened to me 7 times. And it takes forever to get back there. You got to get on that stupid, I'm going to have a video about how much I hate video game horses very soon, by the way. There's not one fucking horse. And don't even bring up a pony. That's a pony. There's not a single horse in video games that I like. And so I have to ride this stupid horse and get all the way back there, climb all the way up this tower, do some hardcore parkour, sinks through again. And the best part, he comically will turn upside down on his head in midair and sink through the ground. And then I can't fight him.
That's
so
crazy.
I was so frustrated. I lost an hour. And I said, you know what? Fuck this particular copy of this game. If I ever pick up a PS4 or anything like that, I might get a remastered copy or a digital download or something like that, something that I'm almost certain will run better and smoother and maybe even upgraded and look better, et cetera, et cetera. But that's where I'm at with Shadow of the Colossus, man.
That's a sucky experience you had.
Well, thanks for that. That's all I needed to hear.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel like you've said it all. But that shouldn't happen, Colossi do not flip on their head in total disregard for gravity and sink through the earth in total disregard for physics.
It was amazing. The first 3 times I laughed, I was like, it's so silly. But then I started to get really frustrated with it.
Sure.
Yeah. Have you played that game at all, P1? Any of that series? Eco, yeah. Shadow of the Colossus, Last Guardian?
Shadow of the Colossus was a game of the month we had, and I enjoyed it about as much as you did at the point when you stopped playing it. which was an anthem at the time, because people, everybody else in the club, everybody on the show, on the podcast loved it. Everybody on the forums loved it. Everybody on Twitter loved it. And I think I'm the only person, and now yourself, and your dislike is because of a glitch. Mine was because some mountains are meant to be climbed, not killed.
Oh, there you go.
The catchphrase for that game was, not all mountains are meant to be climbed, some are meant to be killed. So anyway.
Okay.
I didn't care for it. I didn't get Last Guardian because I didn't care for it. And ooh. I actually think I sold my HD remake of the PS3 version of it. No, it's still there. Do you need that? Because I can send that to you.
He doesn't have a PS3, though.
I don't have a PS3. I know.
You can try to get it to work in your Xbox. It might. I don't know.
Turn it upside down, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, they're backwards compatible with 360. It's the next logical step for Xbox One. We now play PS3 games because your PS4 doesn't.
Yeah, you can stream them, though, through PS Now.
Yeah, you can.
A little anger.
Yeah.
But to be fair, if they ever put Ni No Kuni on PS Now, and if they have, someone hit me, because I really want to play that again.
Do you have a PS3?
I do not.
Oh, that's a really good game.
Oh, that's a lot. I'm highly anticipating the next one, even though it's not the same. It's just I love being in that colorful RPG Studio Ghibli looking place. I love it.
I'm just going to hold it in front of the screen for a little bit for you.
Oh,
thank you.
All right. So nice. So, P1, did you put any notches in the belt the last few weeks?
Yeah. So I'm an avid listener to your show, as you guys know, and I've noticed you've been having a hard time finishing lately. So I thought, you know, I'm going on here. I need to make sure that somebody has a polykill for Diego when he listens. So Monday morning, I popped in. And when I say popped in, I mean I sorted by the letter P and selected Phantasy Star on my RetroPie. And I said, I'm gonna give this a go. And I started Phantasy Star on Monday, and I beat it yesterday, I think it was. Put a solid 30 hours in from Monday to Thursday at work. And I did use a walkthrough. I will admit to that because I'm not ashamed. I'm a grown man with very limited time to game. It's not like I can just sit around and game all day.
What?
But no, I really enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a liar on the podcast.
Do you know how many dirty things I would do in truck stops across America to have your job?
Now, I mean, he did that just to get me on the podcast. So
you got to keep in mind that there were, like, I spent 6 months away from home where I was at work every day for 24 hours a day. So this is like an even out to me, man. I mean, now granted, while I was gone away, I spent most of that time playing my 3DS. that was only because it was 5 hours on, 5 hours off, 7 hours on, 7 hours off. So for my 12 hours on a day, I would play 3DS. And my 12 hours off, I would sleep. So.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to flip that. I thought you were going to say if you were 12 hours on, you slept, and 12 hours off, you played your 3DS. Yeah.
Well, no, it depends, because if we were on the back watch, we would split our 7-hour watch in half so that we only had to be up for 3.5 hours, and we would get the extra in sleep. So then on those weeks, I would sleep 18 hours a day. But like Phantasy Star was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's a great starting point for a franchise. And it's like, so there was a lot of stuff I liked. Beautiful backgrounds in the combat.
And it is a turn-based RPG, right? Like random 100%. Encounters, etc.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I found the encounter rate was a little too high. I found the dungeons where they switched to a first-person view, which made them very disorienting. So the walkthrough helped. And there was a couple other minor gripes in the controls that were just staples of the generation. Like, that's what we had to work with. You know, it's like the guy in 1989 Batman fixing the Joker, and he's like, you see what I have to work with? You know, it's a couple of kid scissors and an old thing of tape. So that's okay. It was a good starting point for the series, but it made me excited to try the other ones in the series to see how it evolved. And well, I guess we'll get into that when we talk about the long play. But yeah, I took down Phantasy Star. It was a hard week.
Cool. Well, speaking of other things that are awesome when they finish, I think we have an ad read coming up.
Ooh, yeah. Can I do that now?
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Cowtech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software... Shit. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, contact Cowden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email info@cowden.tech.
That is info@cowden.tech. That was probably the best one yet.
Do you want me to go back and do that again with the shit in the middle?
No, all this right. is live. We don't. Nope, this goes right in.
I don't edit anything.
Yep, he's going to love it too.
How did you get a sponsor?
Remember that truck stop thing I told you about?
Yeah,
a lot of that. Yep. Mm.
I'm going to email them. I don't have any need for full stack technology, full stack web applications. I don't even know what that means.
Well, you have a Cartridge Club app. That's what that means. Oh. Something like that.
It means front end and back end web.
Yeah, front end and the back end. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so the full stack.
Oh yeah, full none of that half stack bullshit.
Right. Got it.
Yeah, man. Well, folks, if you like what you're hearing so far, we can always fire P1, but you can check me and Jake out on Facebook, facebook.com/polykillpodcast. You can also come chill with us over at the Cartridge Club. It's cartridgeclub.org. That's org, short for organism.
Orgasm.
We put all our stuff over on polykill.com when I think to do it. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use, whether it be Podbean or whatever. I was looking at our stats, and there are a lot of podcast clients I had no idea about.
So many.
There are hundreds.
So many.
Not saying we have hundreds of listens. A lot of them had zeros in the boxes, but there were quite a few that people use.
So, you know, that one guy that uses podcastaliensurfer.org app will find us.
Yeah, no, he will.
That's how I found you.
Yeah. I think it's exclusive to Canada. Yep. Subscribe to our Sad Lonely YouTube channel. Don't unsubscribe if I make a video that you don't like. That hurt my feelings a little bit. I mean, I recovered. It's fine. But that's it. So if you like what you hear so far, we know we're just a couple dudes under the pressures of life. Sometimes we get bored with each other and invite in a third party, like tonight. But this is what you get. So I hope you like it and rate us on stuff. We'd like that.
Yeah, we would.
And also, if you want to contact us, polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
All right, ready for this, boys? 3, 2, 1.
Long play.
Sorry. Were we all trying to do it to one another? Were we all trying to stop early to let one person hang? Because I was.
Sorry. I didn't.
Oh, was no, it just
I was just going to hold it forever.
Oh. Oh. Well, let's go again. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Long play.
Man, we're like the worst version of the Statler brothers ever. You get Statlers?
No, I know the Statlers. I know the Statlers and the Oak Ridge Boys and all that weird
man
hard rock stuff.
That's why we don't sing on Weekly.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. We need to rehearse that.
Whew, that was
so
weird.
Long play games that we're spending the most time with in our backlog.
Who wants to go first, Jake?
Yeah, I'll go first.
What you got?
Now, technically, this still belongs to Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
Still belongs to Persona 5 because it is the game that will probably take the longest to beat that I'm playing right now, and it is the one that I want to spend the most time with. However, there's this thing. Keeps happening. I just sit down and turn on Overwatch and just don't stop playing for like 4 hours at a time.
Yeah, and I see that
that's
a problem for your long play.
Yeah, it is.
I see that it's getting in the way.
It's sneaked over.
Is this going to be the part of the podcast where you guys talk about Overwatch for 20 minutes?
I was trying to avoid that.
We'll save it for SideQuest.
To alienate you. We'll do it on SideQuest.
Okay. All right.
So you get your long play time. But Persona 5 is still there. I got a friend who's on Facebook. He's like I'm ex... I'm out through it. I need you to get there so we can talk about this. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But let me see if I can get my season rank up just a little bit more. Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, have you touched it at all in the last couple of weeks?
No. No. But to be fair, I've only gamed like 4 nights a week. So
yeah, I haven't really had time.
Only 4 nights a week. You only went to work and gamed all day for 4 days.
Exactly.
Well, I've been playing a little bit more of The Witcher Wild Hunt. Now, this does factor into my hate against horses. Roach can kiss my ass. The other day, I called for Roach. You know what happened?
He got on the roof?
Well, he was on a roof once, but he was like...
He's always on a roof.
He was half in a cabin, half out of a cabin, running fast as he could, not moving.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Poor I hate Roach. That bastard. But the game, it's starting to really get hooks in me. Like it,
that's awesome.
Before, I was kind of playing it almost dutifully. Like I felt like I needed to play it. You know what I mean? Like I was like, The Witcher is good. Must play Witcher. Got to play Witcher. And I was still struggling with it. But recently, it's been like, you know, I'm going after quests and leveling up. I've got kind of that, you know, that just that drive to keep going. So I'm like, if I do a quest a night, I can beat this game in 3 years. So that's where I'm at with it.
That's awesome, though. I like the world, the art, the music, you know, all of it. It's so...
Except for the horse.
Well made. Mm-hmm. I haven't had the issues you've had with the horse. Maybe you're just bad at horses. but yeah, I fully understand why this guy sucks in you.
Cool. And P1?
I didn't like The Witcher at all, but the horse was the only thing I did like. So what? That's weird. Yeah, well, he stayed on the road. He went where we were like, I was like, I want to go to this town. I'll just get on this horse and wait. And then he took me there.
That's been my experience. So.
Yeah. I would do that, and he would just run into the water. He would stay on the road for a little bit and then be like, you know what? Fuck you. We're going into the water. And then I would get attacked by drowners. It's weird. I mean, I just have a bad horse. Maybe they didn't get the horse patch y'all got.
Maybe your horse is roached.
Ayo.
No, my long play is I changed it up. And now, like Jake, probably more Overwatch than I can safely admit. But Phantasy Star 2. I started it today. The desire to play was too great. I couldn't hold off. I was going to throw Pirates of Darkwater in there. It was going to be my work game for the rest of the week. But I decided to start Phantasy Star 2 today. 5 hours in or so, and it is... amazing. They improved on all of my gripes that I had with the first one. The combat mechanics are better. But I'm a little bummed out because in Phantasy Star 1, you had beautiful sprite-based backgrounds in the combat scene. So you would see the enemy in front of you, much like Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest. Mm-hmm. In Phantasy Star 2, the enemies are still there, and they have added your own characters coming up in front of you and then going in a little combat animation for them. But they have removed the background. It's just like this blue and black grid. It's like a black screen with blue grid. And I don't understand why they would take... I mean, I'm sure there's a reason for it that has to do with game development that I'll never understand. But I'm a gamer, and I just want to be angry about it. Because that's how we work. I don't need to understand how it works. I just want it to be the way I want it. It's not. But
blind, misguided rage. That's how we get
exactly. It is a complete step up from the first one. Really can't believe I waited this long to get into this series. It's so engrossing.
Now, these are Master System, right?
This one is... No, Phantasy Star 1 was Master System. Phantasy Star 2 is Genesis/Mega Drive.
Okay, so it's a step up in hardware, and you're saying it's scaled back a little bit in kind of the visual aesthetic?
At least in the battle screen, right?
Battle screen,
in the battle screen, yeah. So the overworld, huge improvement. The cutscenes, I use that term very loosely, huge improvement. And... in the battle, like the enemy animations are probably better, but the lack of a background to me makes it seem like they're lesser. Like I said, they add your characters, like you see like the back of your guy stand up when he gets hit, and then you'll see him in front of the character do a combat, in front of the enemy do a combat animation. And like the menu system is better, the combat system is better. It's actually one of my favorite combat systems because you can set what you want your party to do. Click a button that says fight, and then they just automatically do it until the fight is done or you tell them to stop. It makes grinding so easy, which is, I mean, anybody who's played a 16-bit RPG knows that the grind is real.
So real.
Yeah.
How would you compare this game to, I guess, we'll talk about this shortly because I'm playing it, but Final Fantasy 2/4, I know that's one of your favorite games. How does Phantasy Star 2 or the Phantasy Star series in general compare to that for you?
Phantasy Star is a solid 16-bit RPG that I think anybody who's a fan of the genre should try if they haven't. I can't fairly compare anything to Final Fantasy II because it's arguably my favorite game of all time. So that's like asking me to compare my wife to, you know, Scarlett Johansson. It's just not something I can do.
I won't even dive in on that.
Let's stop.
So we'll move on to games on the side.
Side quest.
You got an Al Pacino side quest for us? I told you in the parking lot today I was going to do this to you.
That's a side quest.
There you go.
Fugazi. That's probably way too loud.
Nah, it's fine. Side quest. These are the games we don't tell our long play about. Now, I have a whole slew, a whole basket. I was ready to go. Yeah, so let's go ahead and get Jake out of the way since he's not going to be interesting. You want to talk about Overwatch for a bit? Is that what you want to do?
Let's talk about Overwatch. So I love it. It's great. And you should all play it. There you go. I recently got my Xbox character up to level 25 so I could jump into the competitive play, which is what I really like, because usually the players that you're playing with aren't all total ignorant morons. They still can happen. But the main reason I like playing competitive play is I just like the rules better. I think they make more sense for the game. Plus, I like, you know, getting angry and watching my rank go down. I do that a lot. But yeah, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I'm trying to learn a few new characters. You know, playing with Brian now that he's on Xbox with it. James now that he's on Xbox with it. And of course, the fellas in the club whenever they're on. And we can go at it. But the Uprising event just ended. I managed to get literally everything, every item that was exclusive to the event. I may have missed like a voice line or something, but I don't really care about that. I got the skins, the emotes, the intro, and the victory poses.
So, cool. How many loot boxes did you buy?
How many did I buy?
Yeah.
Let me think. See, what happened is it worked out really well because I leveled up 23 times during the event, so that helped
smokes.
A lot. Because I was a level one player, and like the threshold for leveling up when you're that low is like 5,000 XP, and then like it gradually increases as your level does, but it just goes quick. I think I bought 20 loot boxes.
Wow, I'm jealous.
Yeah. It was a good time for me.
Yeah. About 96, but I got all the skins too.
Nice.
I bought the game for $30 in November, and I spent $100 on loot boxes for clothing.
Man, that's what that game will do to you, man. What's wrong with this industry? I'm kidding. I don't mean that.
It's not pay to win, so I don't care.
That's true. I'm completely behind that. Truthfully.
I mean, you say that, but walking around in that widow skin, that is a win. I paid
You're
for that
right.
win.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. But yeah, the last day I had enough. I had like 7,000 gold, and those legendary skins were 3,000 gold, and that was the last day. And I was like, yeah, somebody in the Twitter chat group was like, yeah, I think the event ends at noon today. And I'm sitting at work like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I didn't get that McCree skin. I need to go home and buy it. So I left work like 30 minutes early, got home, and I was like, oh, it's still there. And then I bought it, and I was like, sweet, good to go. Then started playing a match or two. And then like the next loot box that I got was just a standard loot box. I was like, okay, cool. Just narrowly missed it. Then the next loot box I got was another Uprising one. I was like, what just happened? So I hopped on Twitter, and apparently they reactivated the loot boxes for 24 hours after the event ended.
Oh, you're lucky that you work at a place that you can leave work early to play a video game. That must be nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, it has its perks.
Yeah, you're so jealous. You're so jealous. I can tell you're so jealous. That damn chuckle gave it away.
But also, another thing that I did. Oh, did you have something to interject there,
P1? No, I was just going to talk about Overwatch some more, but we probably shouldn't.
You know,
is this going to be a two-part episode, motherfuckers? Because we'll make it one.
What were you going to say about Overwatch, though, since we're talking about Overwatch and Travis doesn't play Overwatch?
I mean, I'm so glad that you're on there now, and I'm glad that Brian's there. And I haven't had a chance to play with him yet. We got to get him in the Twitter chat. But the Uprising event, I'm not a huge fan of PvP, but Blizzard has this ability to make you like things. So I enjoy the PvP. But the Uprising event, they went from 25 million users in, like, March to 30 million in May. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy. It's crazy.
Blizzard does PvE like no other.
It's true. And to kind of harken back to what you said earlier, you said you're not a huge fan of PvP stuff. What I think is interesting about when you play PvP in Overwatch is even when you die or you get sniped or whatever happens, you do something stupid, you die a lot, first of all, the kills and deaths aren't the issue in the game, which helps. The other thing is that not all the time, but often when I, you know, get eliminated, I feel like it was still my fault. So I feel like I can do better next time. It's not like, you know, these guys are obviously better than me. It's like, no, I can do better. So it keeps me in it.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. So the other thing that I played a little bit, it kind of piqued my interest, is this little thing called Portal Knights. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
No.
It's basically you take Minecraft, you pretty it up. It's still got the voxel-based environments, but it's sort of like the Minecrafty world. Mix in a little bit of Terraria. It's 3D, but it's got like a lot of slimes and birds and stuff like Terraria does. And then it's got like I would call it I don't want to say shallow, but not a terribly deep RPG system put on top of it. So like you create a character class, You build your character, then you go into the world, and you can, you know, fight things and build things and mine. And so it's like Minecraft, but with an RPG system in it. And that appeals to me. So I've been playing the demo of that a little bit.
And what are you playing it on?
Xbox One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it free?
Free demo. Yeah.
Cool.
Is it full release limited? I think there is some limit, but I haven't seen what it is. I think they just restrict you to like the first area or something. You can't go through the first portal or something.
Oh.
But it's like a $20 game, and if I like it well enough, I might take the plunge on it at some point. But
sounds
been having
neat.
Fun with it. Yeah, yeah, it's fun and kind of cutesy and non-threatening, but a lot to do. So I'm having fun with it.
Cool. I'll jump in. I've been playing P1's favorite all-time game ever of all time, Final Fantasy II, sometimes IV. But for me too, on the Super Nintendo. P1, I made it underground. I'm in the fiery depths.
Lally ho, my friend. Lally ho.
Yeah. I really don't know how I'm getting there, man. I'm just squeaking by. I feel like I haven't grinded enough. I feel like I'm in for that imminent wall anytime now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hit that wall because that's happened to me every time I've played an RPG. I'll cruise right along and then get to a part I'm not prepared for, and then I'm stuck.
There's an optional cave underground that you would have to grind for, but it's optional. And there is, when you get to the moon, there's another optional cave that you would have to grind for sure. The moon will be the hardest thing you have, but that game, it is one of the only RPGs where you can get through it. The experience you gain from doing the main story is enough. Maybe a little bit of grinding on the side.
I have noticed that. Giggity. I have noticed that, though. Really have. I think it's what's made me weary this whole time, that something bad's about to happen to me, because I'm like, I'm just kind of making it through here. Like, you know, I defeated the three sisters, and that was kind of a challenge. I think I died once, but I'd saved close by and came back and just, you know, figured it out and beat it. But
you feel a little bit like a poser?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for that inevitable RPG slam I usually hit.
All of the boss fights have a weakness, and they have, like, they're all like, here's what I'm weak to, and when I'm doing this, like, there's a trick to every one of them. And as soon as you can figure that out, you can beat them all so easily. You're going to come up against, I think you fight Rubicant next, and he's the fire elemental. You've probably faced all the others now, Skirmiglione and the others. He should be the last elemental you face. His trick, and they all telegraph their tricks either in what they say or the animations they do. Clearly, if you were able to figure out the three sisters, then you're intelligent enough to be able to figure out the patterns you need to do. I don't think you'll have any issue. I really do think you'll get to the end of it and you'll be like, because they balanced it so well when they made this game. And I need to save some of this for the game of the month talk. But yeah.
Well, look at me, nice. Jake. I am intelligent. Did you hear that?
No, that's not what I heard.
Oh. Well, otherwise, I also, so like I said, P1's coming on. He's like our Cartridge Club boss. You got to impress when the boss is in town. You got to impress, right? I wanted to beat some games. So I said, I'm going to beat some of these old NES games. And, one at a time, I said, I'm going to beat Life Force. You know, I talked about it. Shmup. I was going to add it to the backlog and try to beat it. Konami. You know, and tried it. It's hard as fuck. It really, I mean, it's tough. I put the old Game Genie on it and tried to, you know, I beat it with that, with Infinite Lives, just went through. But, you know, I'm not going to count that. I'm using that to train. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to restart and keep dying with those games. Game Genie, go through, try to learn the level, learn it, you know, get ready to beat it. Nah, level 3 is a piece of shit. Fire. It's tough.
Sounds awful.
I went on Twitter asking for help, and people were like, nah, dude, it's just hard. Like, just get good. You know what I'm saying? So
be perfect. Sorry.
Probably not going to beat it, but I did put a lot of time into it. Also, Castlevania on the NES.
Did you clear up that glitchy card?
Yeah,
that
so I had a copy that always froze in, like, Medusa Head Hallway right before the Reaper. You and I played it. What was it? WrestleMania. We watched. I don't remember what the event was. We watched, like, maybe it was WrestleMania. I guess. Yeah. We watched WrestleMania, and we tried to play Castlevania because we got a multi TV setup going on there, and we kept getting to that hallway, and it would freeze.
Yeah.
That's really far into the game at that point.
Yeah. It's just like
Yeah. And so we restarted a couple times and got back there and was like, fuck it. So eventually I got a new copy and went back. I made it through the hallway. Made it all the way to Dracula. You know, I'm right there with Dracula.
Right on the coosp.
It's happening. But that fucking undead vampire bastard, I tell you, I spent an hour trying to beat him. And just wasn't working. I had to cut it off. Got all the way to the end and couldn't beat it. Failure. I am no retro gamer. And then Super C, that is the Contra sequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a true sequel or if it was like a in the series or...
I believe it is the truest sequel to the original. Okay. Obviously, the Super Contra or whatever, Contra 3 Alien Wars came out on the Super Nintendo. Then there's Contra Force for the NES. And those, you know, look different. They're, you know, they're modified, but they're still Contra. Mm-hmm. Super C looks exactly like original Contra, just new levels.
Okay.
And same amount of difficulty. I actually think I made it to 6 of 8 levels on it. I think I can, if I had another night or two, that was in one night, I think another couple nights on it, I can beat it. So expect to hear about that one next time.
Okay.
But that was it. I didn't actually beat any of them, but I tried real hard for you, P1. I just couldn't do it.
It's okay. I know you guys, it's good to have goals to strive for, you know. Like my daughter just was in her first dance competition this year, and they got silver, which means they scored between 80 and 87. She was pretty upset about it. I think what she had said to me afterwards was, you know, I put my soul into this. I would have liked to have gotten gold, which is, it's not like gold, silver, bronze. It's based on where you fell for the scoring. And I just flat out told her, you know, like sometimes even when you do your best and try your hardest, it's not enough. So don't feel bad. It's just...
I was going to say, it sounds like me and my season rank, you know. I'm always just going to be silver. I'm never going to get that gold. Yeah. I know that feeling.
Is this an Overwatch thing again?
What?
No.
P1, no. You have a lot of games going on, man.
Yeah, so Lost Odyssey I've been picking at for a couple of months now.
I was going to say about 5 years is when they got
it. Yeah. I only got my Xbox 360 like last year, I think. Okay. Or two Christmases ago, maybe. It was two Christmases ago. EB Games had a sale, the 250 gigabyte Elite model for $50. I grabbed it.
What?
Traded in the Kinect that came with it for $25. So I ended up getting a brand new Xbox for $25.
Damn, son.
Yeah. It was pretty good because I had already owned all of the Xbox 360 games I wanted to play. I just didn't have a way to play them. Lost Odyssey being number one. It's the best Final Fantasy game that's not named Bravely Default since Final Fantasy IX.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's one of the only actual true, in my opinion, RPGs on the Xbox 360. I think you can say that and Blue Dragon are kind of like the standard bearers for RPGs on the Xbox 360. And it's crazy how good Lost Odyssey is. I never finished it because I think the physical copy is like 2 or 3 discs or something stupid, maybe four. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's 4 ridiculous. Discs.
So it's massive. So I never got through it. But recently, it was just made backwards compatible on Xbox One, and for like 48 hours or something, they're like, "Hey, you can have it for free if you just go download it." So I got it again. So I'm gonna jump back in at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, really good, really good story.
Amazing graphics too. Like it does that static background thing, kind of like Onimusha did.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I've got my 360 and my PS3 hooked up in the basement. That's our like our dog's room. That's where we keep our dogs when we're gone to work. So there are days when I come home and I just want to hang out with them in the dog room. So that's when I play that. I pick at that. Bravely Second's on there because up until I got the RetroPie, the 3DS was what I played at work. Bravely Second is just as good as Bravely Default was. I'm hoping it doesn't make the same mistake that Bravely Default made towards the end of the game with the repetitive stages for 3 chapters. But beautiful, beautiful graphic. That is, if you ever need to sell somebody on the 3D for the 3DS, put in Bravely Default or Bravely Second and just look at the backgrounds, look at the animation of that. It's beautiful. If Octopath Traveler is anything like that, I will be all over the Switch. Like,
if they keep the name Octopath Traveler, I will be astonished too.
I hope they do.
I think it's a name.
Because I've already got a tattoo.
I hope they do too. I love it. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Also, Overwatch, the Uprising event. I really liked that it was sort of a bridge for me to try different characters.
Yes, that was a beautiful part about it because you weren't afraid. You were like, let me see what Winston can do.
Yeah, exactly. I play mostly as Reinhardt because he uses his shield, which puts him in third person, which is where I'm more comfortable. And a little bit of D.Va because she doesn't have to, all I can do. I just have to hold down the right trigger and I'm good to go.
Sure.
But I like that this got me to try other characters. And I now am delving into Widowmaker, learning the ins and outs of her. And it's a lot of fun.
I wonder why.
It's first person. It's not like I can stare at her all day. So I spent a lot of time in front of the mirrors, though, in the stages. Nier Automata. This was supposed to be our post Zelda game. I'm getting there. This was supposed to be our post Zelda game. The wife and I, I was like, let's play something that's going to be awesome. She loved Bayonetta. I love Platinum. This game looked good. Sexy robots. You can't beat it. We put it in, and we went from being able to climb every single surface in the world to not being able to walk into giant truck-sized holes in buildings because the game is not an open-world game. It's a linear game. It's a pretty jarring experience. So even though I was trying to balance out the Zelda letdown, it wasn't able to. So she has since gone back to Zelda, and Nier has sort of been put on the shelf a bit, which is a shame because it's a beautiful game that I was really enjoying for the 4 days we did try it.
It's one that's on my I guess maybe not under my radar. It's not directly on my radar. It's somewhere in the gray area. But I like the way people have described it to me, and I like what I've seen, and I like sometimes a good linear game that's just like go there.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I enjoy that.
And lastly, like every month, being a co-host of the Crafters Club, I am forced to play the game of the month, whether I want to or not. This month, I am playing a first-person shooter made by a company that I love, which is Perfect Dick on the Xbox. I'm playing the HD version on the Xbox 360. My brother, I believe, is playing it on the N64, where it was originally. And that's it's Perfect Dark for... Right. For everyone else.
So glad you're here and brought us some new games. Because Jake hasn't been playing anything different. I haven't had anything to sabotage. And you come at me with Pirates of Dickwater and Perfect Dick and think I ain't going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, the closest we can get on Overwatch is Bend Overwatch.
And we've done that twice.
Yeah, I've done it twice. Yeah.
So, but Perfect Dick. No, I have played Perfect Dick. I played it with Brian a couple years back. We never did finish it, but... we played it on the original. I mean, is everybody in the club playing it on the?
No, he said he was playing on 360.
I'm sorry, that's right. That's right. So it's the, I guess the upscale, rare replay.
Yeah. I think it's maybe like it's the 360 version of it. I think
it
so
is. Yeah.
Played it on Xbox One.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like
gotcha.
A leap, but not a.
The Xbox One. Yeah, the Xbox One is the 360 version.
Right. Rare replay. Exactly.
Yeah. There's a few of us actually this weekend going to get together for a little multiplayer action on that. I'm going to try and pry ourselves away. I'm going to have to – it'll be the first time the Overwatch disc has come out of my system since January.
Wow.
We'll see what happens there.
I'm not even sure if it comes out.
I don't even know if it'll let me put anything else in it. I mean, I've had –
You don't think it'll let you put a perfect dick in it?
No, maybe not.
Hell.
Maybe not.
Yeah. That's okay.
We're going to try and get some of that in this weekend. But if anybody in the club is playing along, or anybody not in the club who wants to get in the club, and you have it on N64, and you have people that live around you that don't hate you, invite them over, play it as a group that way, and maybe make a video of it, put it on YouTube, let us know in the forums. I'd love to see that. We'd love to plug that for the club and everything. That would be a great way to have a little local multiplayer action. But
Yeah. Well, like I said, me and Briz played a little bit of the N64 version, and I thought it held up pretty well. It's still pretty fun. I mean... Polygons be damned, it was still a good time, so it's a fun game.
Damn them all to hell.
Rare rarely does anything wrong. I mean,
I would say Banjo-Kazooie and Nuts and Bolts was kind of a mess.
I said rarely.
Okay.
I said rarely.
Just bringing it up.
All right, now it's time for the Discush.
Nice.
And this time we're just going to talk to P1 and let him pedal that club. Pedal the club.
Spread it out there, buddy.
P1, tell us. You know, the club's been around for how long now?
We are wrapping up our fourth season.
And so, how do the seasons, why are there seasons, I guess?
Because we started in September, so we couldn't do it by year.
I see.
So we were looking for some way to break it up, to distinguish. At one point, I had aspirations of releasing a season on as a bundle you could get on iTunes or on a disc. You know, here's all of season one type thing. And we did after season one, so September to August, we actually released a T-shirt, and on the back it had the names of every guest we had had that year. But
that's cool.
Stopped after season one. Because
a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, and I wasn't super impressed with that shirt, despite the fact that a lot of people bought it. So, I don't know. And there was another podcast we listened to that also does seasons, so we just sort of cut. We steal pretty much everything.
Sure.
And
is there like an end-of-season finale that takes place where you recap all the games and what was your favorite experience, et cetera?
We don't know. Anything like that? Sometimes Retro Fandangle will do a top five games from that year. That was something they had done in the past. I'm not sure if they're doing one this year. But they would do, like, everybody from the club would send them their top five games from that year for the Cartridge Club. I don't know if they're doing that this year. You'd have to check with Barrett on Mars and Ramvox for that. But we don't, the club, it's like, as far as my brother and I, we just do our regular monthly show, and the, cool. the show keeps on trucking.
So how I guess, who had the idea to start the Cartridge Club, and really how did it form at the start?
Mark and I started the YouTube channel in March of 2013. He had aspirations of letting the world know about these hidden gems on old classic systems. And needless to say, it didn't take off because everybody and their dog does that. So it was September. We had done like a month of videos, a month's worth of videos, I should say. It was mostly game reviews. And we had like 40 subscribers, I think, or 12 subscribers, something like that. It was a really low number. And Vintage Video Game Geek actually came along and found us. And this was somebody Mark had been watching on YouTube. And he left a comment on all of our videos, and that got Mark re-excited for it. And then he had us on as a guest on his podcast. And then Mark and I were like, hey, we should do a podcast. And we were like, yeah, maybe. I don't know what we would talk about. So fast forward to August. Sorry, we were playing Final Fantasy II. I was playing it on PSP. He was playing it on DS. He was playing it on DS. And we were sitting at Tim Hortons, which is a local Canadian coffee shop. And we were talking about it.
Just kidding, I have.
And we were talking about the game. And Mark said, how cool would it be if we could talk about this game with more than just the two of us? What if like everybody we knew was playing the same game and talking about it, like a book club? And I was like, that's a great idea. And Mark was always more into the YouTube scene and the podcast scene than I was. So I was like, does anybody do that already? And he was like, no, nobody does that. And I said, well, why don't we do that? So we started it. We said, let's start with Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. We start with a big hit, and we'll go from there. The first episode was we had three people come on that we had interacted with through our YouTube channel. And it just kept going from there, and it was somewhere in towards the end of season two, I think, when it started to evolve more from just us having a book club for gamers as a podcast to being a community with more people.
Gotcha. So how do you guys decide the games that are going to be played month to month?
This is a question that comes up a lot. So the ultimate decision for what games get played comes down to Mark and I, mostly because it needs to be a game that A, we can afford to have. We either need to have it, be able to afford to buy it, have some way to access it that isn't prohibitively like I can't emulate a PS2 game type thing, right?
Right.
And a game that we want to play. Now that also evolved into we now try and pick games that are accessible to a lot of people, games that would be fun to play and talk about. Nobody wants to play a stinker. No one wants to spend a month playing a game that's garbage. Now, we do like having games that are sort of in between, games that invite conversation. So on our forums, the old forums are gone, but there was a lot there. People would list suggestions, and we fully ask, if there's a game you want to play, send a suggestion. Send me a message on Twitter, send me a message on Facebook, put a post on the forums. Reach out any way you can to get a game selected. And we usually go through those lists and say, you know, we want to play this style of game, so let's find what's up from the list. And we'll go through, we'll look for what games have been suggested by people, what games are fun, what games are getting remakes or sequels coming up that we can sort of tag in to get them caught up in the zeitgeist. And we look at what are we playing in the month before and the month after, because we don't want to stack three of the same type of game together, because that could be bad. You want to try and reach a broad audience. Sure. So that's basically how it works out. It sounds really complicated. I'm sure after that description, if you were to actually, like, if you listen to this episode of Weekly we just recorded, we were talking about Darksiders 3, and I said, man, it'd be cool to have Darksiders 1 as a game. And Mark said, yeah, February or March sounds good. So, I mean, it sort of throws all of what I just said out the window, but that's how it works. Now, there are special months. So there are months when I will specifically target a guest on the show. Like, I'll reach out, and there was one month we were like, we want to get Jason Heine on here. He's a member of the All Gen Gamers.
Oh, nice.
and we wanted to have him on. We know he loves Half-Life 2, so we made Half-Life 2 the game and reached out to him and asked him to be on. As well, last November, I really wanted to have Kyle Bossman on the show. So we reached out to Kyle, and we gave him some input as to what game we would play. And so he selected Parappa the Rapper. Well, he gave us three options. He said, these are three games I would like to play and talk about. We chose Parappa the Rapper from his selections.
I recently heard in Easy Allies, he's still kind of plugging around on that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He
hosts. Just got re-released on PS4, too. So yeah. That helps.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves that game. And as well, there are months like Tony Hawk. We wanted to have a sports title. I'm not a huge – I play Madden football, and I play NBA Jam and Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball, and that's it. That's all I play. So we wanted to have a sports title, so we chose three members of the club who are active in sports games, who are active in the club, and we said, you guys pick a sports game for April. Let me know by February. I'm not going to have any input other than I would like it to be accessible to a lot of people. So those three guys, it was Musty Hobbit, Rocket Sauce, and Bill from STC Pod, they had a discussion, and they ended up coming up with Tony Hawk 3. So, I mean, ultimately, like I said, ultimately the decision comes down to myself or Mark. Mark usually just defaults to me. But we...
As a P2 should do.
Yeah, that's right. But there is input from the community, and I do reach out to people, like, frequently I will ask, like, okay, you guys, hey, what I want to have you guys on as guests. What are some games you're interested in, type thing? And we try and balance it out.
How far in advance do you choose the games? Like, how far do you know?
We are currently planned up to January of 2018.
Dark Cloud, baby.
Yeah, yeah. And that's another situation of a. We were having a conversation on Twitter, and it just came up. It was like, "Hey, let's do Dark Cloud. That's a game that's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's on my shelf." So.
I did threaten that we would leave the club if he didn't.
He did, yeah.
He didn't mention that. Yeah. Okay.
How do you leave the club, though? Just
well, I want to get to that. okay. So it's a new month. We're early in the month. What is this month's game?
This month is Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark, right. On the N64 and the Xbox 360, or the Rare Replay.
But there's also two phases to the Cartridge Club now. Is that right?
Yes. So there's also the Cartridge Club Portable. Last year, Curtis Frazel of the Girlfriend Versus YouTube channel pitched me the idea of what if you had a mini podcast that was only a half an hour to 45 minutes long that offered another selection of a game of the month to people, and it was strictly limited to handheld games. And I loved the idea.
Smart.
At the time, I was sailing a lot, so I couldn't take it on. As well, I didn't really want to be another host of another show. Guesting is way more fun than hosting.
Anytime,
and so we talked about who could possibly do it, because Curtis at the time didn't have a computer capable of editing and recording a podcast. So we sort of shelved it until this year. He was ready. He reached out to me and said, "Hey, listen, I've got everything together. Is this something you're still interested in?" And 100%, Curtis is one of the best members of the community. He's actually hopefully going to be our representative next year at E3. We're going to attempt. I should probably save that for that question for what's coming up. Curtis is he's a great guy. So there's also another game of the month every month for anybody who wants to play. And the first one is Donkey Kong on the original Game Boy, and that's for the month of June. But you can start playing in May because it'll be the first game for that. And that podcast will consist of Curtis and a single guest, and they'll talk about the show for about a half an hour, or the game for about a half an hour. The great part about the club is that because you don't have to play the games, you don't have to play every game. I know there are a lot the YouTube and the online community, the scene of, you know, content creators and everything. A lot of times people get to the point when it's like they feel like they have to consume media or have to consume content in order to be welcome in a community. But we're not like that. We don't. One of our best friends and longest supporters of the club and longest members is Lo from the blog, and then She Games, and she plays maybe a third of the games, if that, and that's fine. Like, we just want to have more options for people who want to have something to play. I don't ever want someone to feel like I got to play this game of the month and I got to beat my score for this, which is a different game, and I got to play a portable game. That's crazy. I can't do all that. I'm just going to leave. Play the ones you want to play. Don't play the ones you don't want to play. Don't play any of it if you don't want to. Just be decent to each other, interact with each other, and give everybody, you know, everybody wants to talk to somebody about something. This is a spot you can do that.
I think you guys have a really good way of doing it, because it's a kind of a multifaceted way to interact, because you can get on the forums and talk to other people that are currently playing the game of the month. You can play the game with those people online if it's a game like that, or not. You can just, you know, share that experience, like you said, like a book club, and you can listen to the podcast and hear your friends or whatever among the club rehash that experience. And you usually do a pretty good job of getting a few different angles or perspectives from people, or people with different perspectives to be on that show. So I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm glad that it's going chugging along as good as it is.
Agreed.
Thank you.
What are some things to look forward to in the club aside from games and games of the month? Because the club, you know, we're new to the club. You know, we got invited in and we enjoyed it. But when we got there, we're like, oh, this is more than just game of the month. There are a lot of other things at play here. What are some of those things that are going on?
So there's the forums. A lot of discussion there on just about every topic you can imagine gaming-wise. There's gaming conventions. So there's chances are, if you're listening to this and there's a gaming convention in your area, there's a Cartridge Club member going to that convention. The Barrie Game Exchange in Ontario, the Midwest Gaming Classic, Portland Metro Gaming Expo, Game On Expo. There are PAX East. There are Cartridge Club members that show up to all of these, a lot of them anyway. So there are people who they plan a lot of events. We get pictures and tweets all the time of people that are like, hey, check this out, Cartridge Club people hanging out at, you know, this random expo that I'll never be able to go to. And it makes me super jealous, you know, and a little bit sad, but I'm happy that they get to hang out together.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So there's lots of that. As well, there's the app on iOS, and there's one coming on Android that'll be live by the time you hear this podcast. That just gives you a link to the feed of all of the different podcasts, videos, and blogs from all the different content creators. Because it's like I said, like you said, it's not just the game of the month and my brother. It's Polykill. It's STC Pod. It's Bonus Barrel. It's Media Mavens. It's Musty Hobbit. It's the Q Dogs. It is literally a family. Like, we use the term community a lot, which is a good description for most online groupings of people like this. But the club is more than that. It's a family. We look out for each other. When somebody's sick or down, we take care of each other. We worry about each other, and we help each other. So there's all of that involved as well. We're going to attempt next year to get accredited as press at E3, and hopefully have Curtis and Musty Hobbit attend that as our representatives.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Curtis lives in L.A., so it's easy for him. And Musty, when he heard about it, said, I will get to L.A. if you can get me into E3. So there's that.
Damn right.
We are sponsoring the Barrie Game Exchange coming up this August, which is another big deal for us. We're really excited about that. And there's a super secret event that might possibly be coming to a Chicago town near you in summer of 2018 that stands to possibly be the best Cartridge Club gathering to date, if it goes as well as I believe it will.
Yep, the Cartridge Club hoedown, I believe, is the name we're going with.
CCHD.
Yeah, I'm already cutting the hay for it.
there's so much going on. There's people that write blogs, there's videos. There's people that just hang out on the forums and talk.
So how does one join the club? I mean, do you have to submit a blood test or a registration or pay a monthly fee?
Nope, it's completely free. There is a seven page essay that has to be filled out, single spaced. really, anybody who wants to be in the club can just say, hey, I'm in the club, and they're in. But you go to www.cartridgeclub.org, and right on that webpage, it says become a member. You click that and you sign up for the forums, and that's really the only sign up required. And that's not even required. You don't necessarily have to be on the forums to be part of the club. Just be a decent person. Interact with people that, you know, identify with the club. The club is more of an ethos than an actual physical thing. If you want to be a guest on the show, message me. Now, you can see the upcoming list of games on the forums, but you need to message me early. We have the games picked up to January 2018, and we have...
Technically February if you count Darksiders, right?
Right, yeah. That is not confirmed for February. and we have three spots left available in all of the months up to January. Two for Portal, one for We Love Katamari, and that's it. Oh, maybe one for Dark Cloud. So we might have four spots left. Everything else is full. because they fill up so fast. Final Fantasy 4/2/4, which is in June, there are three people selected for the podcast, and there are seven people on the backlist in case people follow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Cool.
There's a backlog of people who are saying.
Yeah, so, but you can really, cool. I mean, if you want to be part of the club, there's no, you don't have to do anything. There's no payment. There's no requirement. You just don't be a douchebag.
Don't be a perfect dick.
Yeah, that's right. And hang out with us. Talk to us. Interact.
I would say also a good way to be an active member of the club is just to be on Twitter. That is the way I interact most of the time. I post my more thoughtful things onto the forum, but everyone in the club is extremely active on Twitter. That's where we get a lot of our feedback and a lot of our buzz, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we do recommend people to add the bros on the Twitter as well as the polykills on the Twitter. But P1, what, do you have anything else to add about the club?
Just that things have been going really well. We never expected it would be as big as it is or that it would become what it is. And it's only getting better every day. We are really, really excited about the games and the guests that we have lined up starting right in this month and through. Like this month, we've got three fantastic guests playing an N64 game, one of them being a co-founder of Game Trailers. And next month, we've got the game that started the club, which is everybody's really excited to talk about. Then we've got Portal, which is a game that everybody is... I'm really excited. It's an exciting time to be a member of the Cartridge Club because there's a lot of massive games coming up. Journey, Mega Man 2, Super Castlevania. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about these games with people that love them. We have a guest for Mega Man 2 who I think he holds the current Canadian speed record for running the game.
Canadian, huh?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
To get to that specific with speed runs? There's like country titles?
Yeah, no, I made most of that up.
I was thinking like speedrun Olympics, like we could do this. Yeah. Like German Mega Man guy and the French one, and we just, oh man.
Atlantic Coast Conference.
He does a Mega Manathon every year where he plays through all of the games starting with one. He starts at like 7 or 8 in the morning and he plays through them in the span of a day and raises money for a children's hospital here.
Sweet.
So he's really good at it. I just assume he holds a record.
Are you not going to name drop Game Trailers guy?
I don't want to be like that. He'll be on the show. I mean, right now we have a date locked in for record, but if something happens and it falls through, but yeah, we're pretty excited. Kyle Bossman was Mark's biggest influence in the gaming industry. We had him on in November. This month's guest would be this is who I try to emulate the most.
Me too. This is why you're my spirit gamer. I'm surprised you don't hate Roach. I don't understand how we don't align perfectly in all facets of our lives.
Nice. Yeah, so
well, that's cool, man.
Excited.
We're looking forward to all that. We're really glad to be part of the club. At least I speak for Polykill, but we're really glad to be part of the part of the club.
It's all right. No, I love it. I do love it. I'm not as active on really anything. Like I'm kind of a social media introvert as well as being a in person introvert. But you get me behind a microphone and I'll talk a little bit. But you know, I try to interact as much as I can and playing Overwatch with the guys and it's been a blast. He's a lot of fun to hang out with.
So we encourage everyone to go to cartridgeclub.org. That is ORG, short for organism.
Orgasm.
Follow P1 there on Twitter at Cartridge Bros. And track us all down there on the forums at the Cartridge Club. I am at Traff Plays Games.
I am at the McAxel.
Together we are at Polykill. That is, if you hate us individually, you can get us together. Please check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/... Polykill Podcast. Subscribe to our sad, lonely YouTube channel. We don't yet have our own URL, but one day we strive to do that.
Just subscribe and you'll get our videos.
Rate us on iTunes. Maybe leave a little words there. Click on a star or something. Click on a heart, a thumbs up, whatever it is on what you use. Do that. That helps us out a lot. And always visit polykill.com. That's where we hide all of the stuff. That's where we hide it all.
It's all hidden.
It's all hidden right there in plain sight on polykill.com. Thanks again, P1, for joining us on the show. It means a lot to us, and I had fun.
Yeah, this was a blast, guys. I'm honored. I think I'm your first call-in guest, I think.
Yeah, you're our, I mean, on Polykill for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very, very honored. And your show is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. So I was, when you guys asked me, I was over the moon. It was an instant yes.
Awesome.
Aw. Well, thanks, man. Well, we'll be sure to tell everyone to check out all the weeklies and all the podcasts from the Cartridge Club. And until next time.
Peace.